Okay, one, two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 22, Stuff and Junk.
Right on.
I am Chris Mosby.
And I'm Murray Fox.
Caleb won't be joining us tonight because he has some scheduling conflicts.
He's stuffing his junk.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, we'll go with that. But anyway, today it's just going to be a miscellaneous episode. See how long we can, you know, get, at least get an hour out of it. Probably can.
Sure.
You know, I like to hear myself talk anyway. which is why I record when I talk. See, that's the way it all works, you know. Anyway, let's see. Let's start off with something that's come up recently. The tales of the Batman crossover that Scott Snyder's doing. Also, there is some word about let's back up a little bit. It all started DC Comics decides that they're going to raise the price of Batman and Detective Comics to $3.99 and add a 10-page backup. So I think it's about 10 pages. I'm not sure. I think it was 10, right?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know if they've said it. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Last time, but
okay. So with the Batman title, the backups are going to be at least it's in Detective Comics. It's 10 pages. Let's go back to find the I'm really prepared here. Okay, yeah. Start with Batman number 8. The backups will – yeah, it doesn't really say how many pages. Backups will be exploring the secret history of the Court of Owls. And it's going to be – and they just kind of hinted a little bit about it. Earlier in the month, they talked about the price increase somewhere in here. I don't know. I can't find it. Anyway, so yeah, this is gonna raise the price a little bit. Add some backups. Later on, they announced that this is a little bit newer info. I see on yesterday, as a matter of fact, the backups in Detective Comics are gonna spotlight Two-Face, talk about his history because we've only seen a little bit of it in the Batman title that does not exist in my personal continuity. Batman the Dark Knight. If it's Batman and I'm not buying it, then you know, I mean,
something's wrong.
Yeah, just don't bother. But anyway, it's going to be Tony Daniel and so on and so forth going to his past. Now the inference was, and I think this was brought up on our Facebook page, that those two are going to be connected. But however, the Beat talks about that those actually are not going to be connected. But, however, in a Newsarama article that was just posted a couple hours ago, our time, on this is the 11th, we'll just break that wibbly-wombly, timey-wimey thing all to hell right now.
It's the 11th?
Yeah, January 11th. Yes. Okay.
We are set wrong.
Oops. You know, we'll take something real quick. I can ramble on for a few minutes.
No, it's okay.
Anyway.
I don't know what I'm going to be taping tomorrow because it's – anyway.
All right. Well, back to that.
back to my DVR issues later.
Vanetta Rogers' article and says here, according to Snyder, the books that tie into the quote-unquote Night of the Owls will include Batman, Batgirl, Nightwing, Batman and Robin, Birds of Prey, Catwoman, Batwing, and Red Hood and the Outlaws. And, yeah, that's a lot of books. Now, don't panic, everybody. But this is also the history of the Court of Owls will also show up in All-Star Western.
Yeah, that does not surprise me.
Yeah.
They've been laying the seeds for that.
Yeah.
That's a massive that's just massive, that pull.
Right. Now, as it also says, although DC has promoted the event as a crossover, Snyder said none of the comics will actually, quote-unquote, cross into the other, merely tying into the overall concept, because apparently all the Bat family is going to be involved in fighting the Night of the Owls when the time comes.
Hmm.
So, and then the rest of the article, it goes in, continues here. So, yeah, it's a big, long thing. I'm obviously not going to go read through that because, you know, this isn't a reading podcast. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Yeah, and I was looking at some news here about Gail Simone on revealing revelations about Batgirl's miraculous cure.
That was in
number 5 is
it's in today's issue. I read it.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, so okay, we won't go into that because they've got pages from the comic, and I'll spoiler myself.
There you go. You don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that, which, you know, by the time this comes out, people probably already read it. But anyway, that's kind of a big thing, and I know some people on the Facebook page are upset about the price increase in those two titles. And as far as I'm concerned, if it's good, I'm okay with it as long as they, you know, keep it that way. However, when you get in the case of Justice League, I would prefer actual story instead of flashy text pieces or sketches like they've been doing in Justice League. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, if they're going to – yeah. And that's what I'm a little worried about, because they said they'll be adding story and editorial content, and I'm happy with the story. I'm fine to pay a dollar more for a story. I'm not quite as interested in editorial content.
Right. You know,
pictures. I don't need advertisements for whatever. But if they're gonna do like 10 more pages of story, I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. Like,
yeah.
Especially with the people involved. They got great people involved.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and the same thing with All-Star Western, you know, it started out that way and it's got good backup stories in it. So I'm okay with that. And in the past I've balked at Marvel's $3.99 price. Well, it's like I said, it's a regular size comic, you know, 22, 23 pages.
If that,
depending on, I think it varies every month. I was reading stuff on Bleeding Cool. You know, this issue might be $3.99 and have 17 pages in it, and this other issue that came out the same month has 22 pages and it's $3.99. So, which is the main reason I'm not going to keep up with Uncanny X-Men and that other new X-Men book, even though it was remotely interesting. you know, and you got like Men at War was $3.99, same kind of concept. That didn't appeal to me, so of course I dropped it. Anyway, that's kind of how that goes. Yeah. So, what else should we – let's see. What else was in the news? This is very off the cuff, boys and girls. Oh, it appears that Diamond has released some figures on stuff and looks like Marvel – did actually slightly regain the top spot in December.
Yeah, and you wonder if that has anything to do with the raising of the prices on their top selling books, like for DC, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. This would all happen before that.
Yeah, they probably could have seen the writing on the wall too.
Right, and what I've read in a little bit in the Beat article where I first saw this, Diamond is actually scaling back DC sales a bit to take up for a 10% of returns, which they say in the article is probably way too much, and that that could skew it. So,
yeah. Oh well, which just goes to show that the Diamond charts are not always the the be all and end all.
Yeah, it was yesterday. It was estimates were, but yeah, Justice League's number one. Justice League still number one with estimated 142,000 copies ordered, but only three other titles, which are Batman, Action, and Green Lantern, are over 100K. Detective number 4 was reported at 89,000 as a returnable book, and Detective number 1 still charted in December with 4,000 copies. So that'll tell you something. So, lots of speculation of what's going to be coming next.
I guess I'm okay with the price increase. If it's if they're giving you new stuff, I'm okay with it. Now, I probably wouldn't be okay with it if all of my books were going at $3.99.
No.
But since
that would make it real easy to drop some things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not reading Batman and Detective regularly. I'm not. What else is going up? Justice League's already up.
Those two. The other. Yeah, that's the only two.
And Action is already. Yeah, it's already $3.99, but I'm
which guessing. I'm liking the way that is. So.
Yeah. I like that too. Like that, the last couple of issues have been. Mm-hmm. Have done the short backup the way I want to see them. Like they tied it into the main story, and they've been well told.
Yeah. So then you got Migration Adventures at $3.99, which I like it. It's of course it's got three stories in it. It's worth that.
Yeah. And that one will be ending.
Yeah, that's only six issues. So. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the ones I got today. See what the rest of them are. It's terrific. But, yeah, I mean, if they raised all of them, the titles that are just – I mean, that are good but they're not spectacular, those would probably be the first ones to go. Uh-uh. So – and I still don't know why I'm buying Green Arrow. I'm waiting for the change, the new writer.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's like a couple more issues. It's a little – it was a little bit better, I'll have to admit. So – yeah, taking Kroll off of there was a good idea. And I think somebody commented that he ruined all the Green Arrow stories for the last 20 years. And it wasn't quite that bad, I didn't think, but, you know, whatever. What you going to do?
That's right.
Other news today, it was sad to hear that the CGS Super Show was canceled. I don't know all the details to that. I'm really behind on their podcast, so...
it sounds like... They aren't able to get it organized this year, and they've got to.
They're doing that London show, aren't they?
They're.
And that's turned. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, they're helping out with the big London show. That would be cool. It'd be great.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, and that's really gotten really big. So.
Yeah. No, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
So. Good luck to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good, glad for them. Very, absolutely. And then, of course, the subs were talking about having a sub con, which would be interesting. I mentioned my wife, the Fan Expo, and she sounded interested. She hasn't been to Canada in years, she said. I've never been to Canada, so I'd have to give me a passport. Yeah, she sounds interested, and you know,
Fan Expo is great. It's a great con. It's a good size. It's got a variety of stuff. Like it's got a mix of everything, like comics and science fiction and manga and horror. And,
I was looking at their site today. That's really cool. I don't have any info up yet, but it definitely looks good.
Yeah, it is. It's a good thing, and it's always set up well. Like if you don't want it, like they've got it chunked off into little areas. So if you're not interested in horror, you can just kind of walk on by. If you're
that's good.
It's cool, and they've got a good artist alley. And,
And of course, Dragon Con was brought up, and that's a lot closer to me. Atlanta's only like 4 hours away. So, I wouldn't mind going to Canada. That's really about the only country maybe Australia that I would actually like to visit. The rest of them, I really don't care.
Oh, Australia would be lovely.
Yeah, it would be. That'd be nice. That'd be a hell of a flight, though.
Totally, yeah. It wouldn't be a weekend.
yeah. That's not a weekend.
Not a weekend,
trip.
Anyway.
But let's see. What other kind of stuff are you reading that you've liked lately?
Well, you know, Marvel has started talking about this Avengers versus X-Men thing.
Oh, don't tell me you're hooked into that, are you?
Been
seeing the teasers?
Yeah, I have a little bit, and I don't know, like I read very little Marvel, but I'm thinking, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, the 90s geek fanboy in me likes the idea, but I just, I don't know. You know it's going to be, oh, it'll only be these books, and then the next thing you know, it'll be tied in everything. Yeah,
and they've already announced some extra tie-ins. So it's what it's. I think it's like a 12-issue every other week series.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
I think so. I think that's what the plan is. So, yeah, 12 issues, 6 months.
Yeah.
And then, but they've also announced like this miniseries that goes along with it. Like, so it's what they called Avengers versus X-Men versus series or whatever, where they take like they pair an Avengers versus an X-Men, and they have the issue long battle in the that one I'm not quite as interested in, but I mean some of the issues are probably going to be fun.
Sounds like fanboy service there, big time. Yeah,
but I don't know. The actual miniseries kind of has me interested. So
yeah,
well, despite myself, I may find.
Well, I figure I'll wait until it gets traded and pick it in out of the 99% off bin when you know because you have to buy like 400 copies of something and. And then you can't return them, so you know some comic shop will have that because that's how I've bought just about every Marvel trade I've bought in the last 3 or 4 years was on sale somewhere and got it for ridiculously low price. So I got like a whole stack of Spider-Man trades over there that I haven't read yet, and that's how I got them. You know, like $25 hardcover for $5 or whatever. You
can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't. It's like, well, I have to get that.
I have to.
I might not even read it, but I gotta get it.
I've always
enjoyed those Spider-Man ones though. Since the brand new day, I've really actually enjoyed those, and I've tried to keep up with it. I haven't read one in a while, and this week I got Amazing Spider-Man because it ties in with Daredevil. Both written by Mark Waid. Yes, here it is. Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 677. Luckily, I got there early, and you know it was $3.99, but I picked it up anyway. Because it's Mark Waid writing Spider-Man, and he does a great job on Spider-Man. So it ties into the next Daredevil issue, so I had to pick that up.
Yeah, there were some cool artists announced for that little crossover. Like Humberto Ramos is on
The Spider-Man
issue, and I've always liked his stuff, and who's doing the Daredevil issue?
I don't really remember, to tell you the truth. So I'm just hoping this doesn't spoil too much stuff from the Spider-Man trades I haven't read yet. So.
Uh-huh.
But, there it is. April 2012. Great big ad. Even have a separate website, avx.marvel.com. And, you know, looking at this, it looks like Wolverine is siding with the Avengers here.
Huh.
That's what this big page looks like.
Interesting. So,
yeah. But anyway, you never know. You never know.
I know. I don't know. I always get – I don't know. I listen to the interviews that these guys do, and I always think, oh, that sounds good. Bendis can really talk up it. Like, he can talk up a series like nobody. Like, he'll talk and talk and talk, and I'll think, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear the news about – Walt Simonson?
I did. He's going to be coming on Avengers for like 6 issues or something.
Yeah, 6-issue arc.
Mm-hmm.
Tying into Avengers versus X-Men.
Very cool. They are Marvel, as little as I read of them, they have got, I don't know, they got a knack for bringing in the big names and the
which it makes me wonder if they weren't even interested in him until he did the all that talk about him doing the Legion.
Well, that's true. Maybe. Yeah.
Was it 2 issues or just the one?
I think it's just the one.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're back into the regular swing of things.
Yes. Yes. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Avengers and X-Men has got some cool talent. Like, I mean, I would love to see Olivier Coipel. I love his artwork. I would love to see snag him back again. But
He was one of the ones that did all that Legion.
He did Legion Lost, and then he
That's
did
That's what first. I thought. Man, I didn't really care for that art, but...
I really liked it. I know it...
It was very gritty, but I think I've seen his work after that, and it seemed a lot better.
It's changed a lot, yeah. His style has certainly evolved a little bit, but you could see that even by the end of his time on Legion, his style had changed a little bit too. But I would love to see him come back to DC at some point. But
yeah, that would be interesting.
He seems pretty happy over at Marvel right now, mm-hmm. doing an event every couple years or
yeah. Or. Yeah, and I'm looking at. I got that agent, Frankenstein Agent of Shame versus the OMAC thing.
Oh yeah.
And man, that art's rough.
I know what you mean. I read part one last week, and
I did too.
I thought that was a great issue, OMAC. Mm-hmm. I loved that we got to see like OMAC is starting to. You can see the character is starting to exert a little more control over. Mm-hmm. Over his situation, so he's not just grunting anymore, and he's not speaking in these really slow, hulky sentences. He's starting to like string words together, which is kind of cool. He can, you know, say a sentence without pausing, which is cool. So there's forward motion on OMAC's story, but I love that there's like all this little backstory going on, and there's like secret shenanigans going on in the basement of I was going to say Cadmus. It's not Cadmus. What are they? They're Checkmate.
Yeah, Checkmate. Yeah.
Checkmate there. Mm-hmm. And I love that it looks like we've got some I don't want to spoil it, but some Apocalyptian connections.
Yeah, that guy that works in wherever that was that OMAC's working.
Yeah, back. Very end of OMAC, you got those two little holograms, and I recognize the one.
Mm-hmm. One looks like Zod.
Yeah. But I couldn't figure out who the other one was, or if we're supposed to know who the other one is. But
true.
But I love that issue. Now, I read part two today, and the art, it's like it's great for the Frank. Ponticelli does great, great Frankenstein stuff and great Creature Commando stuff. And, mm-hmm. and I don't mind his style on... What do they call it? The ant farm or the
oh, okay.
in the Shade headquarters. Like, I think that all suits it. Mm-hmm. OMAC is maybe one of those characters where I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be that design is going to be really tied to Giffen, or if it's just a certain type of artist is going to be able to make him look the way I want to see him look. Or, and the coloring has a lot to do with it too, because the coloring on OMAC is bright and vivid and, you know, like, full of like really shiny stuff, whereas the Frankenstein colorist is using a more muted palette, and it's mm-hmm. lots more grays and blues and pastel-y colors. So I don't know, it was a different look for OMAC. I think I prefer Giffen's take on it, but it was okay. Because, I mean, it was told mostly from Frankenstein's perspective. So,
right.
So, you know, it was all right. It was all right.
Yeah, I just looked through it. I haven't read the whole thing. But it definitely was a different perspective.
Well, yeah. And when I was looking through it in the car, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not so sure about that. But then when I was reading it, like the Ponticelli did some really interesting I was going to say panel layouts. They're not really even layouts. It's just the way he fills the panels with the characters. There's some interesting stuff. So it's, even though it's not the way I want to see OMAC, he does some interesting stuff with the characters. So it's kind of cool.
I mean, Well, I mean, not that I could do any better, but man.
No, but I mean, you like what you like, right? And
if
it's not,
I'm not going to go out and say it's wrong or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But, I can say it's wrong for me.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. You could.
You can say that. I will say that. But, let's see. I still got a stack. I haven't read the Star Trek Legion crossover number 4 yet.
Oh, I gotta pick up 4 and 3. I'm so behind on that one.
It's actually really good. I think Roberson, however you pronounce his name, has done such a good job of merging those two things. You can really tell he's a good Star Trek fan in the way that stuff's worked out. So,
yeah, the two issues that I've read have been, yeah, it's been really interesting seeing the way he merges two different races, or two, like the way he's pushing things together is kind of cool.
Yeah, just like the Vulcan and the Koluians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very well done, I think.
Yeah, so that part's been good. It's been neat seeing the mashups and seeing how they squish them all together.
Yeah.
The story's been a little slow for me, but I've heard that by 3 and 4, or so. So when I get around to reading it, enjoy it, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's see. What was it? Oh, yeah. Really enjoying. Okay, yeah, I got the first issue of the new Lone Ranger series from Dynamite.
Yeah, I saw that you had read that.
Oh, man, I tell you what. I even posted on Andy Park's wall and told him how much I liked it.
Good.
Because, you know, this was that character is – it's got a – you know, it actually brought tears to my eyes. I didn't really say that in a Facebook post, but, I mean, that's how good it was. It reminded me – you
put it out there for all of cyberspace.
Yeah, people. I mean, you know, what
you
the
were
hell?
Falling like a baby.
I wasn't that bad, but I did tear up because it – that's just the essence of that character. It was done so well, and it's just really good, and I need to make sure my dad reads it, because we enjoyed that series together.
Very good.
And really enjoying, they're behind on getting them online, but the Elric, the Balance Lost, and it seems like what they're doing is they don't put the next issue out on Comicology until the newest one comes out. So right now, you can read. They just put 6 on, and 7 just came out last week or week before, which is not that bad because, I mean, I'm even double dipping with those, which I missed number 5. So that's kind of how that got started. I ended up buying all the rest of them. But the cool thing is, if you wait, they're $3.99 regular cover price, and then on Comicology they're $1.99. So you get $2 off of those things.
That's all right.
And if you've ever read any Michael Moorcock's Elric books, which I've read all of them, as far as I know, that's why I got on this. And then, again, Chris Roberson doing such a good job. It's just, I mean, it's not even, it's the same writer, but it's not even close to the Star Trek thing or iZombie. He's a really good writer.
He's got a really varied style. His other book, his latest comic came out.
Memoir.
Yeah, last week I meant to pick it up.
And yeah, it's on Comicology, but I haven't got it yet.
Yeah, I
read the preview.
I can't remember if I read if I read whatever was in the back of whatever IDW book I was getting.
Yeah.
Maybe it was in one of the Star Trek.
Yeah, it was one of the Star Trek ones. Yeah,
I read that. I thought that was interesting. And
yeah, if you missed it, it is on Comicology, the preview.
Okay. I will have to look for it because I know I saw it on the shop. I meant to grab it. I don't know if it was a big week. No, last week wasn't even a big week, so why didn't I pick it up?
I don't know.
I do not know.
Yes, and Comicology has a new website now.
Oh, do they?
Yes, it is. It's not near as clunky, I don't think. It works on mobile devices a lot better.
Yeah, I've got it on my iPad. I don't look at it a whole lot. I find, I don't know.
Yeah, the cool thing about the iPad, here's something that got me. On my Kindle Fire, they sold out of Aquaman number 4 at the comic shop, so I was going to get it. On my Kindle Fire, Aquaman number 4 wasn't there, but on my iPad, it was.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, I've got
– that's the first time I've ever seen that, though. But
yeah, on my iPad, I've got the Comixology app. I've got the DC app, the Marvel app, the Archie app. And, yeah, like, I kind of have to – bounce between all 3 of them to see if there's something
yeah
I can, like, I'll find it on one, but it won't be on the other, and it might be on the third. Like, it's weird how, because, I don't know, I would have thought that they would have all been, like, completely integrated, except that...
Yeah, I think the Marvel app is somewhat separate.
Huh.
On the iPad, because I tried logging in with my Comicology ID and it wouldn't take it. So,
huh.
I haven't tried to figure that out yet, if it was a typo or what.
But. Yeah, I don't know how – I do not know how it all works or how it ties. Like, in my head, I'm thinking Comicology is this great big ocean of comics floating around out there, and then the DC app is just – filtering it, turning it into like a little lake of DC stuff.
But, yeah, yeah. That's what it's supposed to be.
Well, I know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure if at some point I feel like diving into digital stuff, I will find it eventually. Probably the only thing I will never ever be able to find on digital is Marvel's Daredevil. Unless I want to read like the first six issues of him in his yellow costume from the 1960s.
Yeah,
I can find.
I noticed that it has it added those just today. As a matter of fact, it added some older Daredevil. So that still bugs me because that's such a good book, and I have no idea why that they were doing that. And I'm looking here; they've got the. I don't think it's a Mark Waid thing. Unless he's got a different deal. Because if you look, the Amazing Spider-Man that just came out today is on there already.
Right.
But they're not going to put Daredevil on there. So unless that's when they change it, then I don't know. It makes me wonder what the difference is. I'm going to contact somebody at Marvel and ask him, what the hell is the deal here?
Yeah. Well, they've said, like, by March, right, they're planning to go day and date with everything.
Oh, was that the deal?
Okay. I thought that was the timeline they'd laid out.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
But who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Oh, what else did I see? Okay, so I finished up John Byrne's Cold War series.
Oh, okay.
Last issue came out last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was good. The ending surprised me. I kind of have in my head the way a spy caper is going to end, and this one didn't end the way I figured it was going to end, and it was a neat surprise. So it was well done. It was a really well done series. Like I'm not really one for like super spy James Bond stuff, but this was it was cool. Like I liked that it was set in the. I guess 19.
Seems like the 60s. Well, one cover I saw.
Yeah, no, I think it's before. I don't know. I don't know if they ever say a date. I got the sense that it was before World War II.
Okay.
But
I was just guessing from the covers I've seen.
But I don't know. They call it the Cold War, so maybe it is after World War II. I don't know. My history. I'm like a dunce.
I'd have to look at it to be able to
either
tell.
Way, it doesn't matter. Whatever era it is portraying, it portrays it really, really well.
Yeah.
In my head, it's like the 30s, but maybe it is the. I don't think it's the. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Really well done. And it ended well, and it looks like there's going to be a sequel at some point down the road. I'm not sure when he's planning to get to it, but he certainly seems happy at IDW. Like he's doing. He's doing the Cold War. He's doing his Next Men after shock thingy. Mm-hmm. And then where did I read? Maybe it was Bleeding Cool or something, but it sounds like he's got another like a traditional superhero series coming out from IDW too.
Oh, yeah. Well, seems like I read something about that.
I want to say it's called Trio or
something. Yeah, I did see that article.
And I don't think they didn't give any details about it other than it's going to come out. So I don't know whether he's planning to do it in like some sort of rotation where he's doing Next Men, then Cold War, then Trio, and then back, or whether he's planning to double up some stuff or whatever. But but it'll be cool. Like I would like to see him get back. I mean, I'm happy to read his mature line of Next Men stuff and his historical fun stuff there. But I'd like to see him do traditional superhero stuff too. And if Trio is what it is, then
Oh, that'll, yeah, there's a little bit of art there.
Yeah. Like, I think, uh-huh. I don't know, like, I think back to when he was doing, he was doing Next Man, but he was also doing Babe, and he was doing, what was it called, Danger Unlimited, I think, which was kind of like a Fantastic Four-ish.
Yeah, I seem to remember seeing that came out, yeah.
Yeah, like, those stories were fun. They were good, fun, science fiction-y, superhero-y stuff. So if he goes back and he does another miniseries of that, I'm totally in. Like, I'd love to see him come back to Marvel or DC at some point, but if he's having a ball at IDW doing stuff that he likes, and it's bringing out good John Byrne, then pitch a tent and stay in there for a while.
I'm wondering if he's burned his bridges at DC and Marvel anyway. So, I don't think Mark Waid will ever work at DC again.
You
never know, but I mean, it's just from what I've read. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know Mark Waid. I think everyone knows that he blows up and then cools. Like, I don't know. I could see him coming back to DC at some point.
I actually met him at a.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was 2003.
Uh-huh.
Chicago Comic Con. He was there, and that's when he was. Kingdom Come. It was in like its second issue.
Oh yeah.
That time frame, and they had a panel. Alex Ross and him had a panel, and they went through and they showed all the covers and told who all the characters were on all the covers and things like that. And he was also in the Legion panel.
Oh yeah.
And he talked about it. Brainiac 5 was his favorite character. So, but
With Wade and DC, I get the sense more that it's, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit of both. I was going to say it's Wade not wanting to work with DC right now, but maybe it's a little bit of both. I don't know.
It's probably possible. Well, I mean, he even pulled away from Boom a little bit. He's not like the CIO or whatever he was before, editor-in-chief, that's it.
Right.
Oh, pardon me. I was up too late yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Playing games. But anyway, I like what he's doing anyway. As long as he can do Irredeemable, and which I still got Volume 7 sitting here. I just looked through it, and it's like, holy crap, did he really do that? Crazy stuff, man. Anyway, I still got a good stack here and much more today, and I need to catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see Wade going back to either Byrne. I don't think I see him back at Marvel. I don't think they love him over there right now. I think there'd have to be a total change in management and in the people that are guiding Marvel right now. Like, they just don't seem to. He's like poor little Rudolph right now. They won't let him play in their reindeer games.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Yeah, like they, I don't know. And fine, they've got, I don't know, they've got lots of talented folks over there, so they can do without.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think he's burned any bridges at DC. I don't think. Has he? What was the last series he did? I know he worked on...
Oh, I don't know.
The all-new Adam with Gail Simone, but that's...
Oh, that's right, he did do some of that.
That's back a while. Was that the last thing he did, maybe? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, and I don't think that ended badly. I think it was just he had only planned to do 6 issues or whatever. And... Mm-hmm. Oh, was that before or after the Doom Patrol?
Oh, yeah, the GLA thing?
Well, there was the JLA thing, but then, like, he actually had the Doom Patrol series for a year and a half. I kind of blocked that out of my mind.
Yeah, I never read that, so yeah.
Which we will get to on the DoomPatrol.com at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But we're not in any hurry.
good plug.
But John Byrne would do Metamorpho. I bet he would do a Metamorpho series.
He probably would be.
And it would be awesome. Not that he has any plans to do that, but
yeah,
I would like to see that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really enjoying what Scott Snyder's doing on Batman. That's such good stuff.
Oh my gosh. Paul lent me his copy of Batman, the chunk of stories that came before Flashpoint. What's it called?
The Leviathan book?
No. By Scott Snyder and
the detective.
Black Mirror, the Dark Mirror.
Wasn't that good?
Oh my gosh, it was really good.
That's the best they did with. I was sad. That was one of the things I miss. I mean, as much as I am for having Dick Grayson back as Nightwing, he wrote him as Batman so well.
Oh yeah. And the way they kind of, like, if that's how they're going to do the backups,
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Well, he's going to write them, so yeah.
Yeah. But when I was reading the trade,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell. I mean, I knew which the backups were and which the main story was, but I could, like, they wove them together so seamlessly in the hardcover that I couldn't tell where one issue ended and where the next issue began. And I don't know if they played around with in the trade, I don't know if they kind of played around with the structure of it and decided, well, we don't have to do the 20 page story and then the 10 page backup. And that, like, I don't know if they switched it around a little bit or whatever, or if that's the way that they actually showed up in the comics. Either way, it was done so well. The way he took that story and just threaded it through both main story and backup story and oh, it was so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really fell in love with his work during that. It was really great.
Oh, yeah. And he nailed the characters, like.
Oh yeah.
Perfectly.
I mean, he built up the suspense. I mean, because we know nothing's gonna happen. It's like nothing's going to happen to him, you know, to Batman or, you know, whoever it is, whatever. But that was so intense. It's like, is Batman going to come out of this okay? You know? And that's hard to do.
Well, with that, but also with, like, James Gordon's son.
Oh, that was some good stuff.
It was done really well. Like, because he's presented a certain way and you're thinking, okay, they're going this way. And then you're thinking, but they expect you to go that way with him. So is he really going that way? And the story was done in such a way that you kept going back in your head. Oh, maybe he's misunderstood. Nah, he's a bug. No, maybe he is. Oh, poor guy. Oh, no, he's a creep. No. Yeah. And you kept going back and forth, and you were never sure which way the story was going to go until the very end. That was awesome.
Like, and the art, great. The Francisco Francavilla. Yeah. I first saw his work when he's doing Zorro. Zorro and the Green Hornet. He was doing covers for Green Hornet and some of the issues of Green Hornet Year One. That's where I first saw his stuff. Right, it was right before, and then he got that gig doing that. And he's great. Some painted art isn't all that great, but he does such a good job. It really adds an edge to it, I think. So.
Yeah, no, it was really well done.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to get in trade. I still got all the issues, but yeah, that would be a good one to have in trade, for sure.
Uh-huh. It was a great read.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, which makes me realize I got to go back and I got to pick up some of the Batman, because really I've only picked up like the first issue of Batman, and then I haven't picked up the rest.
Well, I think the actual Batman title is really good. And, of course, Batman and Robin I really like. The rest of them you just have to look. Those two I would recommend. Oh, well, and I cannot recommend Batman and the Dark Knight, which we've because that book is just so unnecessary.
I'm wondering where Well, I mean, it's a Batman book, so it's a moneymaker. So
yeah, well, and I have a feeling that they might have had a contract with Finch.
Yeah.
To do so many issues or whatever, and that's just part of it. I don't even think he's writing it anymore. He's just doing the art. So.
Well, maybe part of the art. I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, that makes me wonder. We've got. They've solicited up to what, issues 7 or 8 now? Yeah, 7, I guess.
Yeah.
So, and what, like at some point, the shoe's going to drop and we're going
to. Well, yeah, they're going to have to cancel some books, I would imagine.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Because, I mean, at some point, nothing is going to run forever. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to cancel books at some point, but it'll be interesting to see the spin they put on it. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see whether they give them all like 12 issues, like a full season, or whether they decide. I don't know. It'll be. Mm-hmm. I'm curious because right now they're all running through till issue 7.
Yeah, it's 7
for sure. Well, and none of them have been announced as final issues at 7, so that means they're all going on to issue 8.
Well, you would think, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm curious, yeah, it'll be neat to see when the issue 8 solicits come out soon, I don't know, I'd like to think that they're all going to get a full year.
Yeah, let's see.
That year.
I got the latest previews, I didn't see how far along they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same ones, 7. Yeah, it's the same one that's on the website.
Uh-huh. And I wonder if. I don't know. Part of me thinks they're just going to keep the numbers going. And another part of me thinks they're just going to start, like, it'll be season 2, number 1. You know what I mean? Like, that rather than, they'll kind of rejigger the whole numbering thing. So rather than.
Yeah, they could do that.
I don't know. And if they do, like, a whole season 2 thing, that would be like this is a natural end point for some series. Boom, boom, boom. This is a natural beginning point for a new series.
That's true.
I don't know how they're going. Like, I think whoever the number guys are have gone on. I think they've said in some interviews that they're not planning on playing around with the numbers. But, yeah, I mean, you never know, right? That they,
no, you don't. Things change pretty quickly. It all so. Comes out. Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. It will be interesting.
Yep. It will be. Yeah, I'm wondering how long. It's not like I want them to fail. It's just, I don't know. Some of these that I've read, and they're just so terrible in my opinion. It's like, you know, really? Are we gonna continue with that?
I know.
And but, like, okay, perfect example, Blackhawks and Men of War. Those, they're not horrible, they're just not my thing. And then you look at Hawk and Dove by Rob Liefeld and Rob Liefeld, I'm thinking, really?
I wonder, though, like, I mean, once it's just his book.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very possible. And he isn't, certainly Gates isn't even doing anything with DC anymore. I think he's got a creator-owned title with Image right now.
I know. That's too bad. I would like to see him.
And I know. I mean, his stuff on Supergirl was awesome.
I know. I would love to see him come back to DC. And maybe he will. Maybe they're just, you know, the right whatever.
That always makes you wonder if it was because it was editorially mandated stuff that was causing the problem, or he was just not doing a good job. But when you know somebody that's that good of a writer, it makes you wonder, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird time to be part of DC, right? Like this the new 52 is, you got to be on board or you're not.
Yeah, I think if you don't play along, they'll probably kick you to the curb. So. Mm-hmm.
And even it's probably not even that if you're not. I mean, for sure, if you're not playing around, they're going to get rid of you. But even if the series that they've offered you just doesn't connect with you, then they kind of have to say goodbye for a little while until things change and they can bring you back in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where it all goes.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I won't spoil it, but I read The Shade number 4.
I looked through it, and it looks great.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Yeah, that he really is, he's a good one, that's for sure.
It's good. It's good. It's Robinson writing. It's Darwin Cook on art.
Oh, I know. I love his work. I really do.
It's great. And if I could spoil it, I would.
No, don't.
No. I totally won't. But he brings in a character that he's worked on before that I wasn't expecting to see, mm-hmm. which was great. And he introduces this new character that is so golden agey, like it just sounds like a real character that could have been around in the 40s or 50s, mm-hmm. but maybe it really was a real character. I get the impression that it's a James Robinson character, but the new character is done so well. Like, you just get the sense of, oh, I would love to go through the back issue bins and pick out mm-hmm. a chunk of those issues about that character and see what they were really like, but I have a feeling this is probably the first time that character shows up. But it's,
yeah, he does that a lot, I think. Doesn't he?
Yeah. And he's good at it. He's good he's a good idea guy. Like, if you look at his last Justice League issue.
Yeah, I actually bought that. And,
oh, so many ideas just dropped in. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Yeah, it's like, you know, just the idea of bringing Khan Gorilla in.
Yeah, and
the Blue Starman in, that was, I actually liked that. It just got so crazy that I just had to stop. Yeah. The first bit was good. So, and I like seeing Dick Grayson as Batman being the leader.
Yeah.
Because he is a good leader.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But anyway, yeah. So, let's see. What else? Is that about it?
I think so. I'm trying to think what else I might have read last week. I read the Big Archie issue. Life with Archie, the marriage issue.
Oh.
The one where...
Were any protests at the store or anything?
There were no protests.
Oh, wait. That's Canada. They're okay with that up there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's totally legal.
I didn't want to push Americans' ignorance out on your country.
So it was well done. Like, he had Kevin and his marriage happened in both little multiple realities, and both weddings were just a little bit different. But neither one of the weddings was like a big, like, for all the advertising, you were thinking, okay, it's going to be about Kevin and his wedding, and that's all. But no, it was just kind of like one background element subplot that was thrown in, and all the rest of the stories just continued telling their little stories while the wedding went on. And in one version, the wedding was kind of upper scale, and in another one, it was just kind of low key and stuff. But either way, it was just done very matter of fact, I'm not going to say subtly or in the background, but just, it was just very matter of fact. Like, it was like, yeah, we're going to a wedding and we got other stories to do as well. So, it was cool. It was a neat way to throw it in there. Yeah.
They shouldn't, that's the way they should do it. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be, I don't know. I don't see a problem with it.
No, it was well done. It was a good issue, and mm-hmm. I'm getting the sense the character's sticking around. I would like to see the character stick around.
Why not?
Yeah, there's lots to explore in that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm curious to see where it's going, because they've got like the two multiple Earths and they're on like cross paths, and at some point they're gonna smash together. I can tell. But,
oh man, that's funny.
Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, you got Earth 1 and you got Earth 2 and you got. It's very good.
I didn't know they were still doing that.
Yeah, it's like, that's issue 16. They're up to issue 16 and they're mm-hmm. still cooking.
Huh. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool because, it's, you know, it's a book that makes me think, and you know, I'm not big on the thinky thing, but. They tell kind of the same story on each multiple Earth with just minor variations. So you're trying to keep the two multiple plot lines going. Has this character met this mm-hmm. character? They have in this part of the story, but not on this world. And and then at the same time, they're still able to make each story very distinct. And so in one, you've got Archie as sort of a, well, not a businessman, because he's never really a businessman type. But mm-hmm. anyway, it's just neat. It's neat the way that they have the stories play out and how they have very similar moments, but then also very different moments. And for those of you that are looking for your Archie fix, this would be the book to go to.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured that they did that stick with him marrying each one, but they've kept that up both storylines. Huh?
Yeah, they totally have. It's been it's cool to see. Like they've kept it going. They have kept it going, and they're showing no signs of slowing down yet, so...
Yeah, well, I guess if it's selling, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think it is. It must mm-hmm. be. I don't know. Enough to do it.
Yeah.
It's a month or...
That's,
not twice a month. Every other month.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got, too. Thinking about... The only thing I could think of, I was looking at Comicology site... Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips' new series, Fatale.
Oh, yeah. Did you see it at all? Did you pick it up?
No, I'm looking at the comic, and I think it went down a dollar. I'm actually thinking about buying the first one, seeing what it's like. Because I like the idea. You got the – I think it's like a film noir kind of thing at the same time, you know. And
Yeah.
And you got the – supernatural demon thing going on, so it looks interesting. So I'm thinking about hitting that buy digital comic button here.
There you go.
So we shall see if I do that, and yeah. So
good-o.
All right. Good-o. Well, that's it for this extremely late episode. We'll, if you're listening to this, it'll probably be Thursday morning because that's when I get it out, and we'll do our best to have another episode ready, or I will do a solo Batman or issue or something. I was thinking about that.
You know what? We weren't late. You guys were just really slow in downloading.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just a really bad connection.
It was a really, really 4 or 5 day long download.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah, until next week. This is us signing off, and if you want to contact us, you can contact us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. I think we have a email from Robin that we never read, but it's a little late for that now. I'll have to get that next time.
We'll get it next time.
Cause I don't even know where it's at. Let's see, what else? Yeah, the Facebook page, lots of traffic on there.